Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Hey, good morning. As we go to the sermon, the elementary students are dismissed. You guys have a great time. Lord be with you as you go. Thanks for worshiping with us in the time of music. My name's John Adams, one of the pastors here, and we've been in a series called Jesus Sees You. And He does see you, and He loves you, and guess what? He forgives you. And hopefully you can hear me right now. He forgives you. And when I think about forgiveness, I can't help but tell the whole story about Corrie Ten Boom. You might remember Corrie Ten Boom, a Jewish lady during World War II. Her family were taken into captivity, into jail by the Nazis. And one of the guards was ordered to kill Corrie Ten Boom's sister. Well, years later, this was well after the war, and they're in a setting where Corrie Ten Boom came into the presence, and she didn't know he was there, but that same army guard, she went up to him, and the Lord said, even though she said, I can't do this in my own strength, go tell him that you forgive him for killing your sister. And she did. And she went in the strength of the Lord, not her own strength. It was a really cool story. And I love Corrie Ten Boom's faith and the way she looked at forgiveness. She used to tell this story about how forgiveness is like this. What God does is when we believe in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He takes all of your sins, you who believe in Him, and He pours all your sins, past, present, and future, into the deepest, darkest sea, and they go to the bottom, and they're completely covered. And He puts a massive flashing sign on top of that sea so that all can see, and it says these three words, no fishing allowed. Well, hey, we need that help, don't we? And especially, we have this amazing church. Yeah, there's a lot of love here, love for the Word. You're a great group. And if you're here long enough, someone's going to sin against you. Did you know that? Do you know we have sinners here in this room? And someone will hurt you and sin against you. And of course, because you love the Word, you will forgive them, right? That's what you're supposed to do. But then they sin again. And you go, I'll forgive them again. But then they do the same sin against you. And what do? You kind of cry out to the Lord and you get exasperated and you say, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive that person? Because they keep doing the same sin. They keep sinning against me. Well, that was the same question that Peter asked Jesus in our passage today in Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew 18, Peter was thinking, as he thought about forgiveness, he said to Jesus, because the religious leaders of the day had said three times was all you had to forgive someone. That was kind of the law. But Peter gets really, really generous before Jesus, and he doubles the amount and adds one. And he says, we see it in verse number 21, that here Peter said to him, he says, Jesus, Lord, how many, he asks him, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? So he doubles the religious leader's forgiveness and adds one. And then Jesus must be shaking his head. Peter, 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 Peter. No. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I don't say to you, Peter, seven, but seven, 77 times. Or some versions say seven, 70 times seven. You see, and Peter's reaction must have been kind of like what ours is today. Are you serious, Jesus? There's no way we can do that. That is a crazy amount of times to forgive. Remember, Jesus was not saying, hey, 77 means you can stop in forgiveness at 78. No, what he was saying there is seven was the perfect or complete number. When you doubled it, it in essence meant this, that it was equivalent to saying your forgiveness needs to be limitless. It has no boundaries. Keep forgiving. And now Jesus and Peter and you and I are scratching our heads and saying, how can that be, God? There's no way I can do that. And you're right, in your own strength, there is no way you can possibly do that. So Jesus told a story. It's called a parable. And it had one central point. That was the purpose of parables. And we see that in Matthew chapter 18 and beginning in verse 23. It says, therefore, Jesus told this story, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Wow, in today's world, that's more than $1 billion. But the point actually is, it's some commentator says it would take 200,000 working years to pay that back. That's a lot of years, right? The point is, it's limitless. You can't do it. It's impossible. You cannot forgive 10,000 talents. And so he verse 25, and since he could not pay, that was obvious, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment had to be made. Now, this was a typical punishment for during those that time of in that era. Not only would this man, this senior servant, be doomed for imprisonment or even worse, slavery and maybe even death, but for he and his family. This was typical. So obviously the senior servant is worried. So verse 26, the servant fell on his knees imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. This had to almost make Jesus or the master chuckle. How could you pay an unpayable amount? 200,000 working years. This is limitless. You have way too much debt you could never repay. And and you'd expect this master to say, you're banished forever, imprisoned forever. You're out of your mind. Now you have to pay. But instead, we see verse 27. Notice this. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Wow, can you believe that? This unpayable debt that this senior servant owed, this master says, it's gone. I will cover it all. You are, in essence, forgiven of all your debts. Now you can go free and be free in that. I've paid it forward for you. Now, in essence, you know what the master is saying? You go be generous with every person. And you would think that this senior servant would be overwhelmed with mercy that he had received from this master. But we see differently, sadly. We see that here in verse 28, it says, but when the same servant went out, he found, notice he was looking for someone to pay back a debt. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. You don't want to hear those words in life, friends. Pay what you owe. Some commentators say that 100 denarii was equivalent to, you know, just a few dollars, 20 or more dollars, but it was completely achievable or payable. This guy could, it was a payable debt. So verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. Again, notice here that this is the same exact plea this junior servant makes that the senior servant made to the master. And you're going to expect he's going to give him mercy for sure, right? Because this guy has been so forgiven of a massive debt, he's going to forgive this guy of this little tiny puny debt. But it wasn't the case. Verse 30, he refused, and he went and put him in prison until he could not pay this debt. Wow. Isn't this hard to believe? That anyone who has been paid, has received such forgiveness for such a massive debt, would ever not forgive someone else and have mercy on someone else to pay, to forgive their little debts. But the hard part of this parable is for Peter, for you, for me, there have been times when we have not forgiven others. And this is hard for us to really comprehend, friend. I know this is hard. The times we have not forgiven others of that small debt, we are that senior servant in this parable. And we have not, in our hearts, experienced the great mercy of God. We may be going to heaven, it's true. We may be, have know about forgiveness in our heads, but we don't have any clue in our hearts of how merciful and generous God has been towards us. Therefore, the senior servant had zero mercy. Zero mercy. Look at verse 31. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you, mercy on you? And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Application, what does Jesus mean by this parable? God the Father is the master in this story, in essence. Verse 35, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. Let's see, the central question in this parable is this. Do we realize how much we have been forgiven? Do we? Again, sometimes yes, but if there's a person out there that we have not forgiven, you know, we're that, again, we're that senior servant. That's hard. That's hard. Do we realize how much we have been forgiven? Because in this parable, the senior servant got exactly what the law required for the debt. Romans 6:23, you may know it. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's the penalty. You got to pay that. But thanks be to God, Christ follower, that the Master, the true Master, our Heavenly Father sent Jesus, His Son. And Jesus, this perfect Son who was sinless, willingly suffered for us. He was tortured on the cross with unimaginable pain. But can you imagine what the spiritual and emotional moment that was when He was on the cross and He took the wrath for every sin of every person, past, present, and future, of whom He paid for their debt and forgave them? He took the penalty. He took our penalty, church. Do you realize how great a salvation we have in Christ Jesus our Lord? He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. We sing it a lot. Jesus paid it all. Paid it all. And this was an unimaginable sum of what Jesus has done for us because of the great mercy of the King who loved us that much. He has forgiven your unpayable debt. So when someone sins against you repeatedly, you know, and I know their sin can hurt you really deeply. I know a lot of you, I talk to you, we're in groups together, we've met with you through the years, I've heard your heart, and I know how hard this is. This is not easy. This is probably one of the hardest things in life to do. It's so hard to forgive, especially when you've been wronged, and especially when you know it's not fair and that person hasn't stopped sinning over and over again against you. But when we meditate on the great work of forgiveness that Jesus our Lord, the way He has forgiven us limitlessly, that mercy and that love should begin to change our hearts and give us the humility and courage to forgive others who repeatedly even sin or have sinned against us. The great mercy of our God. So, another question that we see in this passage is not just do we realize how much we've been forgiven, but also why do we fail to forgive? This gets a kind of the nubs of why are we forgiving? You see, again, we really don't realize how much we've been forgiven. And our hearts ultimately are not changed by the incalculable payment, forgiveness of Christ for us. And the only way we can begin to grow in this is to daily learn how to repent of our sins. We've got to realize the depth of what our sin has done to send Christ to the cross. And when we realize that, that changes not just our heads or our thinking, oh, that was good, I know that information. No, it changes us deeply because we receive the great mercy of our God. And we do this through confession. You know, Jesus teaches us about praying. You know, we pray lots of prayers. We pray I did it this morning. We pray prayers of supplication or requests. And that's good. We do prayers of praise and we praised God today. We thank God and we've done some of that. But are we confessing before God? Confession means, friends, it doesn't mean that you beat yourself up or you have to live in your sin, just the opposite. Confession is how deeply we need the mercy of God And we need our hearts to be overwhelmed with amazement for the debts that he has paid for us. You see, do we realize how much we've been forgiven? Do we? And then we will begin more and more to forgive. We also really find in this passage that because we don't realize how much we've been forgiven, we lack receiving the mercy of God. Look at verse 27. There it says, the word pity means mercy or compassion. And mercy flows, we know this, the very word means this, from the very guts of our inner, the most inward part of our lives. Literally, it's been translated from your spiritual heart. See, when we fail to forgive, God's mercy is somehow glancing off your heart. It's not impacting it. It's not changing you. You see, we can know how deep and wide and long and high is the forgiveness of God. You can quote lots of scriptures, but have you forgiven that person that has hurt you the most? Or that person who continues to hurt you? This is hard, I know. But his mercy, we sang it, his mercy is more than we can ever imagine. But do we get it? So I want to challenge you today to, and this is what I've needed. I've started this some months ago, is to pray every day for 30 days that you would ask God, that you would pray something like this, Lord, show me how much you've forgiven me and fill me with your compassion or mercy. Pray that for 30 days each day. Would you try that? And the more, before you read your Bible, Lord, pray, Lord, show me how much in my heart I've been forgiven. And show me your mercy. And guess what? He will if you ask. Now, really, it's true. If you have not, because you ask not, ask him. Take 30 days. Do this. Start this practice. It's a good one. You know, we need so much the forgiveness of Christ to change our hearts, to enlarge in us with, you know, being more merciful. You know, like sort of like, this is silly, but the Grinch who stole Christmas, his heart grew that day 3 times. Look, at our heart needs to grow 3 times in receiving mercy, of knowing of the depth and height and length and width of God's great love for us, his compassion for us. Verse 35, Jesus teaches we're to forgive, notice this phrase, important, not from the head only, from the heart, from the spiritual heart. We know that's what that is. We need to forgive from the heart. Ask God today. Ask him regularly to show him his mercy, and he'll grow your heart in ways you've not experienced it. He'll change you in your desires. It's beautiful what Christ does when we ask him this way. But you know, another roadblock to our inability to forgive is this. We think we get to decide who deserves our forgiveness or not. You know, okay, this person deserves our forgiveness. This one. But honestly, this one doesn't deserve our forgiveness. And it's easy to think that the person who hurt us doesn't deserve our forgiveness, and that's probably true, but guess what? Do you get this? How much do you deserve Christ's forgiveness? You see, we could never deserve Christ's forgiveness. We don't get to decide who we forgive or not. We cannot distinct. We have to forgive every person, especially that person that's hard for us to forgive. You may think scriptures like Luke 17:4 teach that a person must repent before they forgive. But other passages, I think, instruct us differently. For example, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," Luke 23:34. And remember Stephen, when he was stoned to death before his executioners, he prayed, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them," in Acts 7, verse 60. And these passages appear to clearly show us that it's not dependent on that person's repentance, but every person that sins against us, and God shows us it clearly, and we've processed it some, certainly, and we know what the issues are, we can't hold on to it ourselves. We must forgive. Scripture instructs us, it's really for our good. Do we realize that? Ephesians 4:31 through 32, Paul writes, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you." Why? "Along with all malice, be kind to one another, tenderhearted." Notice, forgiving one another. Here's the key. "As God in Christ forgave you." You see, we might think that, Scotty Smith says it this way, "Oh, you know, that's out of sight, out of mind. I'll put that person and that hurt, I'll compartmentalize that in this part of my brain." But here's the deal. He says this, the heart has a photographic memory. It doesn't forget. It knows it deeper than anything. And you know what I'm talking about right now, that person, that place where you have been hurt and you need to, someone sinned against you and you need to forgive them. You see, bitterness doesn't just go away. It's not like we ignore it and it's gone. An unforgiving heart, we know, is steeped in anger, turns bitter. That's what happens when you hold on to anger and you don't forgive. And this passage says that bitterness is like an inescapable prison. You say, "What do you mean, John?" Well, in verse 34, look at it in this passage, it says that those who fail to forgive are delivered over to the jailers. Now, it's been argued about the details of what this phrase means exactly, but we know it means at least this. An unforgiving heart filled with bitterness is like a spiritual jail. You are the one trapped. You are the one who's being punished. You are putting yourself emotionally and spiritually into prison. And some people are like, "Well, why don't I hear from God or get anything from God?" Sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's you've not forgiven. And you're in jail. And you're in the trap of your own bitterness. And we know that bitter hearts overflow to really bad actions. Unhealthy for you and for others. And often we have no clue how much pain we're inflicting on ourselves or on others. We fail to forgive. But I believe that the overwhelming evidence the scripture teaches is that we are instructed to forgive others from our heart regardless of their response. Now, here's a very important principle too that scripture teaches. Forgiveness is demanded by scripture of everyone who sins against us. But listen, not reconciliation. There's going to be, you know, some call it boundaries. There's going to be things that you need to put in place with relationships with those who sin against you. You're not supposed to continually put yourself relationally in the path where the person just keeps whacking you. But listen, so that this is so important. The Bible does talk about reconciliation, but reconciliation is dependent on both you and that person who has sinned against you repenting. Does that make sense to you? Do you get that? You see, there are really two stages, and they're different based on the responses biblically with those who sin against you. And the first is forgiveness. This is without limits, and you and I need to forgive everyone regardless of their repentance. But the second one may not happen. It's called reconciliation, and it requires the repentance of both yourself and the person that has sinned against you. Got it? Is that clear? Okay. You know, Jesus sees you. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your even heart pain. He knows who's hurt you. He knows what you're frustrated and you're overwhelmed about. He knows the struggle you have gone through. And he also provides a way to escape from becoming trapped in a bitter heart. He doesn't want you to remain there. He died for you to free you from this. But it does require your forgiving others. Do we realize, church, how much we have been forgiven? Again, remember that when you fail to forgive, you're the one held hostage. You're the one in prison in your own anger and bitterness. So right now, I want to invite you to a tender moment, a courageous moment. I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, to give you the humility and courage to forgive that person. That person is different for every one of us. It could be a spouse or former spouse, a child, a dad, a mom, a family member, a friend, a work associate. And guess what it also could be? It also could be you. I know in my life, for many years, I was like, man, I'm pounding on myself emotionally. John, why don't you do better? Why don't you step up? John, come on. And it wasn't just a way to kind of get better or perform better. There was fear and anger and really, literally bitterness that I was holding on towards myself that I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you died for my sins. Forgive me and help me to receive the forgiveness you have already granted to me. Yes, there are people all around you that are going to hurt you and sin against you, and you need to forgive you in Christ's work, in his power, in his name. So I want to invite you now to pray this prayer. It's a bold one. It's a humble one. As we come to communion, and Thomas, if you'll leave this up through communion, it's just, I want you to invite you to really ask the Lord, Lord, show me how much I've been forgiven. Then secondly, importantly, Lord, because of your great forgiveness, I declare, I may not feel like it, I may not want to, but Lord, because of your forgiveness for me, I forgive that person in Jesus' name. I want to invite you to do that right now. Let's go and be praying right now in this tender moment in a prayer of silent confession. Let's bow our heads. Let's do business before the Lord. Let's seek to forgive that person through Christ's work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your great forgiveness of us, of me. Help us to realize more and more the depth and height and the breadth and the length of your love for us, your forgiveness. And Lord, please help us to forgive that person. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.